Over Denver's shoulder, Satha shot Paul D a look of snow. What you care? They won't let you leave? No, Satha. No moving, no leaving. It's all right the way it is. You gonna tell me it's all right with this child half out of her mind? Something in the house braced, and in the listening quiet that followed, Satha spoke. I got a tree on my back, and I ain't in my house, and nothing in between, but the daughter I am holding in my arms. No more running from nothing. I will never run from another thing on this earth. I took one journey, and I paid for the ticket. But let me tell you something, Paul D. Garner, it cost too much. You hear me? It cost too much. Now sit down and eat with us, or leave us be. Paul D. fished in his vest for a little pouch of tobacco, concentrating on its contents and the knot of its string, while Satha led Denver into the keeping room that opened off the large room he was sitting in. He had no smoking papers, so he fiddled with the pouch and listened through the open door to Satha quieting her daughter. When she came back, she avoided his look and went straight to a small table next to the stove. Her back was to him, and he could see all the hair he wanted without the distraction of her face. What tree on your back? Satha put a bowl on the table and reached under it for flour. What tree on your back? Is something growing on your back? I don't see nothing growing on your back. It's there all the same. Who told you that? White girl. That's what she called it. I've never seen it and never will. But that's what she said it looked like. A choke cherry tree. Trunk, branches, even leaves. Tiny little choke cherry leaves. But that was 18 years ago. Could have cherries too now for all I know. Satha took a little spit from the tip of her tongue with her forefinger. Quickly, lightly, she touched the stove. Then she trailed her fingers through the flour, parting, separating small hills and ridges of it, looking for mites. Finding none, she poured soda and salt into the crease of her folded hand and tossed both into the flour. Then she reached into a can and scooped half a handful of lard. Deftly, she squeezed the flour through it, then with her left hand, sprinkling water, she formed the dough. I had milk, she said. I was pregnant with Denver, but I had milk for my baby girl. I hadn't stopped nursing her when I sent her on ahead with Howard and Bugler. Now she rolled the dough out with a wooden pen. Anybody could smell me long before he saw me. And when he saw me, he'd see the drops of it on the front of my dress. Nothing I could do about that. All I knew was I had to get my milk to my baby girl. Nobody was gonna nurse her like me. Nobody was gonna get it to her fast enough or take it away when she had enough and didn't know it. Nobody knew that she couldn't pass her air if you held her up on your shoulder, only if she was lying on my knees. Nobody knew that but me. And nobody had her milk but me. I told that to the woman in the wagon, told them to put sugar water in cloth to suck from, so when I got there in a few days, she wouldn't have forgot me. The milk would be there, and I would be there with it. Men don't know nothing much, said Paul D., tucking his pouch back into his vest pocket. But they do know a suckling can't be away from its mother for long. Then they know what it's like to send your children off when your breasts are full. We was talking about a tree, Satha. After I left you, those boys came in there and took my milk. That's what they came in there for. Held me down and took it. I told Mrs. Garner on them. She had that lump and couldn't speak, but her eyes rolled out tears. Them boys found out I told on them. School teacher made one open up my back. And when it closed, it made a tree. It grows there still. They used cowhide on you, and they took my milk. They beat you and you was pregnant, and they took my milk. The fat white circles of dough lined the pan in rows. Once more, Setha touched a wet forefinger to the stove. She opened the oven door and slid the pan of biscuits in. As she raised up from the heat, she felt Paul D behind her and his hands under her breasts. She straightened up and knew, but could not feel, that his cheek was pressing into the branches of her choke cherry tree.